Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to the second hour. Robbie and Rexrode. Joe Rexrode. Joe Dubin. Petite Joe Rexrode. Big Joe Dubin. Michelle Knezovic. And Robbie Stanley is, let's see. So it's 8 Eastern. I would hope the Stanley family would be,
I'm just telling people he's out on paternity leave. And they're like, oh, I didn't know he had a baby. And I'm like, I know, I think he got a cat. So it just confuses people. Just let it go with that.
Did he actually get a cat?
I have no idea.
Okay. Robbie posted some amazing photos on social media yesterday. He was on the Buzz Lightyear ride. He was in Magic Kingdom.
When you say social media, which one?
I saw some on Instagram. He's in the Buzz Lightyear little thing. Aww. Oh my God, it's amazing. Oh, man. And then on Twitter, I think he's got a full family photo in Magic Kingdom.
Have you been to Disney World?
Yeah, that Buzz Lightyear. So my oldest, who now is a senior, how old would he have been? He was young, and he was freaked out. Like, it was one of those things where you make a big scene, and, you know, everybody's like, trying to wake up.
Right.
Come on, you get, like, make up your mind, kid. And finally, basically, like, I forcibly put him on there with me, and after like a few seconds, like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. You know?
But it was like pure terror.
Well, I went one time, and then I guess at 9 o'clock, they do Tinkerbell comes flying down, and the castle lights up.
Yeah.
And I've never seen, and I'm not demeaning anybody out there, but I've never seen so many people in absolute hysterics, tears, crying.
You talking about like the parade at the end kind of thing?
Whatever, when they light Tinkerbell comes flying down. I don't remember.
You weren't crying?
I had carried my daughter around the park on my shoulders for 8 hours, and I wanted to go anywhere but there. And I mean, we're talking grown men. We're just bawling with all that. And so,
but not you. You were the tough guy.
Tough guy, man. No, I was the one I was like the great Santini. I'm like Robert Duvall. I'm like, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Stop your crying over there. But I did not know the true impact of Disney till I saw that, till I was there and saw these people bawling over this.
Yeah.
It's like, then I thought, you know what? Maybe I need to get in touch with myself.
Yeah, maybe. Or, it's a little bit scary, though.
I got no emotions at all. Zero. Yeah. But I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, we've really gone into a totally different area than I expected we would today. Okay. So we can work on that, Joe.
Just don't sit in my lap.
Yeah. <You're> good. All right. So we're talking, what are we talking? We're talking 53-man roster.
Aren't those, what are we down to? One or two guys? I mean, is that right? You probably know.
Today is a cutdown day to. Oh, you're talking like
the final 53.
Oh, I think there's a few. There's a few interesting.
But these are guys
spots.
That we're never going to hear from.
Ah,
You talked about Sargent yesterday, Mickey Sargent,
Mekhi Sargent. Yep.
If we're talking him in week four,
that's a problem.
We're also talking about the number one draft pick in 2022. I mean, so. I get we have to talk about this stuff because it's camp, but we're never going to hear from this guy again.
Well, okay, so I would agree on that one. Okay. But you look at certain positions like outside linebacker, I mean, even safety, you're going to have injuries. You know, I mean, you're going to have, and it's not going to necessarily be devastating to your season. You need depth. And like even at receiver, I mean, you know, it's not just this year, it's like the future. You know, you've drafted a guy in the fourth round. Who right now I really struggled whether to put him on or not, but that's a really interesting situation, and it does impact this year because I think Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers are going to make plays for the Titans this year. I really do. Going into camp, I didn't have either of them on my 53. Now they're high.
Usually in the past you would think about the guys that they're going to make it, and you would know going on like solid set. There's a few positions here and there, but more and more now it seems like. All right, you've got your opportunity to prove. If you're not a first, second, third, you know, you're not penciled in going into the offseason right there, then you're going to have a tough time making the team. And now you got these guys. And these are great stories, like the Kinsey guy, the receiver. Those are great stories because I go old school with Drew Bennett when he came to the team. And nobody heard of Drew Bennett when he came here. But then he goes to these practices and preseason games. Like, he has to be on your team. And that's what you're saying with these guys. They have to be part of this team.
Yeah. So, Mason Kinsey is a good example of where you gotta keep in mind what you're looking at. And you could say the same thing about Mekhi Sargent. I just think he's more talented than Jeremy McNichols and would be potentially a better option if it got to that. But Darrington Evans is, I mean, he's got to be healthy. That's a big question,
sure,
obviously. But, you know, like Mason Kinsey is a good example of a guy who's been very good. And obviously he's had great success in these two preseason games. He's not a threat to me to make the roster. It's just there's just too many good players ahead of him. And that's just daily in practice. You know, he's behind too many guys.
Right.
Now, the what he's doing right now, there are teams out there who, you know, they've got preseason film to watch again, unlike a year ago. I could absolutely see someone being interested, and I think the Titans would love for him to be on their practice squad. I mean, he would give the defense a good look consistently. This is not the best camp for him to try to make this team. But there are some guys, you know, on this 53, for example, going in, I'll give you my headline, Joe.
Give it.
Say hola to Ola and consider sticking with Ficken. Okay. Oh, that's just, I mean, come on. I mean, that's just some
word. I like the effort, Joe.
Yeah, that's word really smithery right there. But, but you know, Ola Edeni, and I hope I'm saying his last name right. I mean, he's been one of the stories to me of camp. He is, one, on special teams, an asset. But I would argue, you know, like Rashad Weaver right now is probably the third guy. Okay?
Okay.
But Ola, I think John Simon's going to make the team too, but you know he's got some real pass rush ability. I think he's going to beat out Derek Roberson for sure. I think Derek Roberson's time here is probably done. That'd be my guess. No? You're down on that?
No, I just don't. I mean,
you don't buy it?
No, I mean, I couldn't tell you who Derek Roberson is. He walked in here. I just don't like guys. Is Dane Cruikshank still on the team?
So what you're telling me is that you basically like – pay attention to the top 20 guys on a football team and
pretty much
just ignore everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes. Dane Cruikshank is on the team. He's been hurt. I don't think he's making this either.
Yeah. So I go back to 2018. All right.
That's last time you watched football?
No, 3 years ago. Right. And so I'm looking at the team, the Titans, the starters in this team. Follow me on this one. All these guys are gone. Mariota, Corey Davis, Tajay Sharp, Jonnu Smith, Luke Stocker's back, but I don't count him. Quentin Spain's gone.
He doesn't rise to the Josh big Joe Klein, roster level.
Jack Conklin. I mean, all these guys. So the turnover is always constantly going. So the days when we grew up in football, when you'd have a Jack Ham who plays with the Steelers for third, those days are gone.
Yeah, well, now, you know, look, Taylor Lewan may end up being here for a decade. You know, I mean, there are great players who, I mean, Derrick Henry could end up being here for a decade, yeah. Right? So there are great players who teams lock up, Kevin Byard. I mean, some of these guys, but I mean, certainly there's a ton of churn and a ton of turnover. Conklin is an example of a guy who, well, you could make the case, man, if they would have paid him, would have made things tighter in other areas, but then they don't draft Isaiah Wilson, and they didn't draft Dylan Raidens this year.
Good point.
And they use those draft picks on other people, and they have a great player at right and left tackle long term. But
let me ask you this, Isaiah Wilson. All right. At some point, do we go and question Sam Pittman, the coach at Arkansas?
I don't.
Why not?
I think that's a fair question to bring up.
For those that don't know, Sam Pittman was his position coach at Georgia. So at some point, John Robinson and Vrabel talked to Pittman, and he was like, I just want to know what he said. I mean, this guy is fantastic. And because was he like this at Georgia?
No, I mean, and this is, you know, I've talked a little bit about this, written a little bit, but not much. But no, I mean, look, I think the biggest red flag anybody had on Isaiah Wilson was, okay, a little bit immature. You know, apparently there was like one workout with a team where he showed up late or something. But, I mean, there wasn't much. And, yeah, Sam Pittman was effusive in praise.
Yes.
But you can go to Georgia people now still and, you know, and in part, you know, I've got a coworker who covers Georgia is like, this was not, I mean, Isaiah Wilson went from, and this can happen, you know, maybe a little bit immature or whatever, but all by all accounts, a, you know, hard worker, all these people liked him. He gets to the NFL. He's a first round pick. Obviously, there's money. He's also in a new city. He's also in a pandemic and some things that, you know, I think he has some issues that were triggered here, frankly.
So,
I mean, look, I'm not trying to take responsibility off his plate or anybody else's plate, but I think this is one of those just situations where it just totally changed. His life changed 180 when he got here.
So you don't think there were any kind of issues beforehand? There had to be something. You just don't turn that way when you get to town.
Well, but don't people at some point at times in their lives
I'm sure
have whatever it is, huge life changes, and maybe people have something that's that's inside that hasn't been triggered or brought out. I mean you know,
well, I get,
I think Isaiah is struggling with some things, and hopefully he's, you know, he's
I get it. Look, I'll find a 20 better in my pants when I'm doing the wash, and I'm ecstatic over the $20 bill. I couldn't imagine having $1 million. You know, you put yourself in the situation, what would you do?
Like, if I had $1 million as a 21-year-old?
Yeah. So, but I just want to go back to Pittman. And so does Pittman now the mea culpa of, hey, I didn't, I'm sorry. That's what I would do. Be like, I did not see that there. And I'm sorry that it happened there. But I did not see it over here. And he was a great player for us and everything. I just wonder.
Yeah, I look, it's totally fair to – because this certainly happens. There are college coaches who people in the NFL know, okay, that guy's going to tell us the truth. Be real careful here because it's all sunshine and rainbows with every one of his players. And they know this. But it benefits you as a college coach to be honest about this stuff. It really does.
Right. I don't know if this was – I heard Jimmy Johnson speak one time about recruiting college when he was with the Cowboys. He would make – and I don't know if this is accurate or not – he would make the coaches when they would go scout or the scouts – talk to the assistant to the custodian at the facility because, you know, did Joe Rexroad, does he work? Is he on time? You know, because the other guy's probably going to give the true answer. And you'd be like, hey, man, this guy, he's rude to us. He doesn't show up. And then is that a factor? I mean, it could be if a guy's a fifth or sixth or seventh rounder. So you don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because the thing, I mean, look, by all accounts, everything figured out. I mean, the Titans did all that stuff. Now, it is different in a pandemic. Maybe sitting in a room with someone, maybe there's a little bit of a different tell. But honestly, I don't think it would have been different. And they talk to all – these teams have to do that. They talk to the – you know, your junior high third best friend.
Yeah.
Like, did he put gum under his desk during class? I mean, like, you know? And this one is just – I mean, I really believe it. I mean, it hurts John Robinson to make that pick. So you can't just say, oh, you take that risk. But, I mean, I think this is a situation where it went downhill dramatically once he got here.
Yeah, and I like Conklin. He was just a – I mean, you covered him in Michigan State. I liked it. He was just a smash-mouth guy that caused no problems, got the job done.
And but he's now, doing great in Cleveland.
But now Robinson's first three number one draft choices are all gone. You know, and so now you're down to Rashawn Evans. They didn't get him for the next year, and then – who was 19? My mind's losing.
Well, Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, okay.
That one's looking good.
That one was really good. And then, so, I mean, it's...
Yeah,
but you're doing good on the draft back end. Well. Before we go to the break, who's the one team that passed on Derrick Henry in the 2016 draft?
The one team?
One team.
He went in the second round.
Yep. One team passed on him.
Okay, I don't know.
Patriots, because they didn't have a pick in the first round. So every team passed on Derrick Henry, except the Patriots.
Oh, the one team that didn't, you're saying?
Because they didn't have
– I got you.
Every team passed on him except
the Patriots.
Yeah. Derrick Henry. I remember that talk, too, because that was like running backs are devalued. They're devalued. Nobody wants a running back. And you saw what he did in college thinking, who are – and so when Robinson took him, I was like, good for you, John.
And remember, he was a third-string running back at one point in 2018. So, yeah. All right, we come back. We're going to talk more. We're going to talk some more about Big Joe's favorite thing, the Big Uglies, here on Robbie and Rex on ESPN 105 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game in the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Joe Rex Road, Big Joe Dubin, media darling at Main Street Nashville.
Sorry.
Oh, look at Big Joe had a mute issue. Bless your heart.
Nashville's media darling, 19 years in a row. Thank you.
That's usually me having the mute issue, by the way. So
not today.
So, it's yeah, I appreciate your contribution. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's see. We've got Adam in Portland with a few takes. One is Gostkowski was like 6-for-23 last year, but the six were all game winners. We need an improvement. He was not 6-for-23. He did have some miss, though. He did have some misses. He did get better as the season went on. I'm not completely closing the door on Gostkowski as a possible call here, but right now, Ficken. And no one has told me who came up with Nashville Hot Ficken, right, by the way. So
take it.
Come
man.
On. Now, I can't steal that.
Why not?
Now, listen, I want to tell you my proudest moment, okay?
Sure.
So I covered Michigan State. They had Jim Bowman. You're going to love this nickname because, like, this is right up your alley. So Jim Bowman was the – and Dave Warner were the co-offensive coordinators. Jim Bowman was at Ohio State forever, O-line coach. He was a D'Antonio guy. Then Dave Warner. So they were co-offensive coordinators. They had like the record-breaking offense in school history. Connor Cook was a quarterback. Like they
what
lost
year?
To Mario. So this is like 2014.
Okay.
They lost to Mariota out in Oregon the year he. I mean, that day I was like, yep, there's my Heisman winner. But the offense was so good, and I was like, I need to come up with a nickname. Dave Warner, Jim Bowman. Bowman Warner Overdrive. Come on, man. Come on. And how that didn't sell a million T-shirts, I have no idea. I mean, I didn't even make a T-shirt, but
that
I should
have. That was a long way to get through the front door on that one.
Dude, you didn't love that? Come on. You tell me you're not a BTO fan?
Yeah, but that's – yeah.
I'm very disappointed in your reaction.
Say their names again. Give me the
names
again.
It hurts my feelings.
Jim Bowman.
Bowman. Bowman, B-O-L-M-A-N, okay. And then Dave Warner. Bowman Warner Overdrive. Come on.
Can you shorten that?
Canadian. It's just because they're Canadian, right? They're a Canadian band, and so you don't think it's cool.
Is that right?
So it must be.
Fine. I need to take them off my play. If they're Canadian, I'm taking off my playlist.
God, I'm gonna
don't trust them.
Have some poutine and chill out, man. Adam in Portland also says, as a 22-year Titans fan PSL holder, I'm much more excited about seeing our young DBs continue to make plays Saturday than seeing Derrick Henry on the field. Yeah, Derrick Henry won't be on the field. But
I get it. You're excited, but you're doing it against Kyle Trask. And who was the other guy they brought in, the quarterback, the Bucs?
It was ugly. Yeah, it was. I've forgotten, and I want to continue to forget.
Let me ask you, do we need a third preseason game? I don't think we do.
Well, no. Two is probably fine. I will say that as much as I've complained about preseason games, and again, my big thing is single game ticket prices for them should be. Now, I understand if you buy a season ticket package, you can divide it up however you want. You can say, well, the preseason game is only $5 and the other games are, but single game tickets for a preseason game to me should be way cheaper. So people can walk up and come sit in the stadium, and maybe it's, you know, in some markets, it could be their chance to watch a team, right?
Okay. All right. I get with that. But let me tell you what. The most fun I've had at a Titans practice as a media member, and you're not supposed to go out there being fun, but this is for me, was 2 years ago when Brady came down to the Patriots. I would see that on a Saturday night, the 1-on-1 drills, the 7-on-7 drills, because in that day, Tom Brady absolutely destroyed the Titans secondary that day. Mariota was absolutely awful. And yep. I will say that was a day that Vrabel said, I can't do – we'll see what Mariota can do for us. But, I mean, Mariota was airmailing passes that were hitting people downtown. I mean, it was easy pass. It was awful. So what the Patriots – I mean, what the Bucs and Titans did on Wednesday, Thursday, I'd pay to see that because that was really, you know, the 1-on-1 drills with the linemen going to each other. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm, sure.
This other stuff, no. So I would rather see – a practice / scrimmage than I would.
A televised practice.
It would be, I think I watch NFL Network when they're out doing, they had the Rams and the Raiders on the other day. I mean, I would watch that stuff because those are good battles that have, they'll never do it. I get it. They'll never do it.
Hey, you say they'll never do it. We're old enough to remember when the draft was, you know, few guys sitting in a room and they'd call up, hey, by the way, you've been drafted in the third round by the Bears. And now all of a sudden it's like the entire city of Nashville, it's like the biggest show in the world.
So, you're right.
So don't tell me they won't do it. It's not a bad idea. I mean, if you could figure out how to you got to make it TV friendly. But like, look at the Combine. The Combine, again, used to be sit around with your stopwatch, and now it's a huge TV event, right?
Yeah, so if you get the announcers, you get like the two announcers and maybe another guy in the booth talking to you about, and then go to the field like, hey, we're going to go down to Joe on the field. What we got now? Hey, we got the wide receivers and DBs. Brady, let's see how Brady goes.
Yeah, see how Caleb Farley does against Mike Evans.
Yes, yeah? Yes.
And I'm there.
You're singling out these different things. But, you know, the Dolphins came to town years ago and scrimmaged the Titans. And fights. Fun. It was good.
I've heard about this one. Then the Titans, very hot, right? Like ridiculously hot.
Yeah, then the Titans went to Illinois and to Macomb and scrimmaged the Rams. All they did was fight, and it was fantastic. It was like watching hockey in the middle of August. All they did was fight, and you take so much away from that. So Saturday night's game was like, blah, I'm going to watch this and that, and didn't really – but that's why we've come to the that's why I don't think we need a third preseason game.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I'm fine, and I think, we had Mark Howard in yesterday, and I think he's right. You know, it's not far from two preseason games, 18 regular season games. So it's going to be the USFL, which I love, by the way. I hope you love the USFL as much as I do.
Sure.
But, and that'll be fine. I will say that the preseason games, which I've whined about forever, you know, when we didn't have them at all last year, I'm like, gosh, actually, I wouldn't have minded one or two of those, you know. Like, there's some, like, you do see some things. And again, if you're interested in, like, the entire roster, which clearly you aren't, and that's fine. You're an elitist who only cares about the top seven guys on a team. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to find out about some of those younger guys who may at some point be key players, you know, they can be interesting. All right. Okay. My gosh, Ron on the text line keeps coming at me. So I gotta. Ron wishes Robbie was there or listening. who in the hell does Matt LaFleur think he is by telling the fans to stop cheering for them during a preseason game? And then he goes on about fans paying for popcorn, beer, nachos. This dude's ridiculous. What's wrong with Robbie's coach? This is Ron's rant of the day. All right. I don't know this story. Are you familiar with this?
No, I'm not. But I know that I'm not a big Matt LaFleur fan.
How come?
Luke Stalker.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not. I'm not. And obviously Aaron Rodgers doesn't like him. That's the.
Yeah, you think so?
I don't think he likes him.
Well, I think he. I mean, Aaron
Rodgers. That Jeopardy question when the guy wrote that down? Come on. That was fantastic. Why did you kick the field goal and not go for it?
Right.
And then
he wasn't happy with that. But I think his issue is with Gutekunst, the GM, right? I mean, I'm sure with LaFleur, he's like, all right, buddy, let's go
try to win some games. I say. Yeah. This is my game.
Yeah.
So, no, I haven't heard about that.
Okay, so apparently Matt LaFleur was telling the fans to stop cheering for them. I have no idea. I'll try to look this up, Ron. We'll certainly – I mean, I can go on Insta and ask Robbie as he's on It's a Small World if he'd like to weigh in on this.
He's probably dressed as a teacup, and he doesn't have time. He can't get to his phone. So let Robbie have his time in Disney World. They only go every other weekend, so
that's right.
Let him have their fun down there.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I don't know anything about that. I do know that the Bears fans – I don't know. Did you see this with Justin Fields? Of course, Bears coming in. There's one reason, honestly, Joe, I'm kind of excited about Saturday.
Okay.
I want to watch Justin Fields play. Probably going to play a fair amount, and I've been high on Justin Fields as an NFL QB from – that first year playing at Ohio State. So Andy Dalton is QB1 there, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, and they're terrible last week. They're getting killed by the Bills. Like, they look awful.
But Fields' comment after the game was kind of stupid.
Really? I thought it was a good comment. You're talking about when he's asked about them booing?
No, the speed of the game. He goes, actually, thanks, college.
It's slow or whatever. Yeah, well, that was last week.
Then they show the highlight of him just getting his head knocked and his headband. Getting knocked off, but I get it. I mean, you got to have some kind of swagger. You're going to come in as a quarterback, and
yeah. So here's what he said. So, you know, think about the spot you're in with your Justin Fields. You're the number one pick. You know that you're better than Andy freaking Dalton. It's just a matter of time. You know, it's a matter of, you know, just basically being ready to play. So Andy Dalton gets booed off the field, and of course Justin Fields comes in. Everybody, yeah, this is how it always, is, especially with a rookie QB.
Yeah.
So he's asked about that. So Fields says, I noticed it, of course. The fans are awesome. They also have to realize Andy's a human being, too. Andy's out there in the field right now. I really think it's kind of disrespectful to Andy, them cheering my name like that. They have to trust and coach, make sure he's making the right decisions, and cheer Andy on. That's not helping Andy play better, them cheering my name. Hey, I give him credit, you know, because some people would not say that stuff.
Correct.
You know, I give him credit for sticking up for Andy Dalton in that situation. Whereas I think some people would be like, yeah, I'm not touching this at all because I don't want to tick off the fans. I mean, if you're Justin Fields, you got to know. Like, they're going to support you all the way until you're not good enough, and then the backup becomes the most popular guy in town, which is always what happens.
What I love about that, though, is you always ask players, did you hear the boos, hear the fans? No, I never heard any. And now let me tell you.
Oh, does that happen? Oh, I don't read anything, Joe.
Yeah, let me tell you about these pro players. They read and they listen and they see everything. When they tell you, I didn't see – they're full of it. They're all full of it.
I think some people, the rare person, is able to close himself off. I think some.
Yep.
But not many at all.
Yeah, but they'll tell you to a person. I haven't listened to radio in years.
Oh, I don't have any idea about that. Yeah. Well, and put yourself in their shoes. People rip us on Twitter all the time, which is fine. But, I mean, like, if you were in that spot, and there were media covering you and criticizing him, and they don't know exactly what was supposed to happen on a play. You're telling me you're not paying attention to that stuff?
Well, I've heard stories for years where Mike Heimerdinger, the late offensive coordinator, would call in radio shows and off air and talk to hosts like, hey, you know what you're talking about. At least he did it, would call in and say, hey, here's what's going on.
Well, I've always, people I've covered who would off the record just help inform me on stuff, I've always appreciated it. It helps you.
Yeah, why not?
It helps you to do it. Tom Izzo, had a lot of run-ins with Tom Izzo.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. But, But Tom Izzo was always a guy you could always call, text, and he would be like that, like, man, you're totally stupid on this or that. It helps.
You wish more coaches were like that?
Oh, it'd be the best. I mean, when you have open practice, open locker room after game as a college coach, and then you can talk to whenever you want, you take some irrational anger sometimes. It's well worth it. All right, we're going to take a break. Robbie and Rex, I don't even know what we're talking about next. Probably something awesome here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back. Robbie and Rex at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell you that you should go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Time to save cash fast with Nashville's best deals. Right now, you can purchase a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue for only $15. Central Barbecue, of course, serves up slow-smoked Memphis-style barbecue at two area locations, Hillsboro and Capitol View. Smoke is our sauce at Central Barbecue.
Nice.
That's right. Other deals include half off a $25 gift card for Joyland at East Nashville. Get the deals now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back to Robbie and Rexrode. Joe Rexrode, Big Joe Dubin, media darling.
Nashville's
Main
media
Street,
darling.
Nashville.
Thank you.
I think you could be just in general media darling.
No, I'd like to be in the specific to Nashville's media darling.
You want to be local.
Yeah. So okay. We have a topic here that before Google, this has been a great radio call-in. Now you can look it up in 2 seconds, call in, pretend like you knew it all along. So we're talking about Bruce Matthews early, Oilers, Titans, great Hall of Fame, and all the games he played. You had an interview with him. The top 100 players, you said?
Yeah, he was, Yeah, I wrote a piece and learned a ton about Bruce Matthews.
You just call him up and say, hey, man.
Yeah, no, he was awesome. And, you know, Steve Waters, talked to Warren Moon for it. It was great.
Ooh.
And he was number 41, I believe.
Where do we find this story, Joe?
It's on theathletic.com.
Okay. Who was number one?
Thank you.
Yes, that's great, Drew.
Oh, I love to promote myself. You know this. We are not at one yet. In fact, I can find out where we are. We are right around. I think we just had Ronnie Lott. Actually, so Dan Pompey, who's a great writer, great NFL writer, has done a lot of them for us. I think he just had Dan Marino, and he was very high. But we are not to one yet. I assume. I assume one will
you get
be
a lot of going stuff going over there without giving me a solid answer, man. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm
here?
just kind of.
Be a good politician.
Blabbing. Yeah, exactly.
So the question is, what player has played in the most games in the regular season in the NFL non-kicker? George Blanda was a kicker quarterback. We're excluding him.
I mean, what was his career from?
1949 to 1975. So he played when Harry Truman was president to Gerald Ford. I mean, that's how his career. So
that's incredible.
This player is a modern player. He's played 303 games. He's retired now. I had no idea he played this many games. No idea. And I'll tell you, he's a wide receiver.
Okay, so, a modern player. I mean, I think of Jerry Rice.
You got it.
Okay.
Good job for you.
Nice.
Jerry Rice.
There we go.
303. I had no idea. Now, Brady sits
played a long time.
Brady sits at 301. Quarterback record is Favre at 302. That's going to be gone in 2 weeks, 3 weeks when he gets two games in. But I had no idea Jerry Rice played that long.
Yeah, I mean, I would not have come up. I mean, I automatically just am thinking quarterbacks when I think of that longevity, right?
Yeah,
if
sure.
It's a non-kicker,
sure, absolutely. Is. So what's funny though is
he the greatest football player ever?
Rice. I don't like that.
No?
I don't like greatest football player ever because you can't put Jerry Rice at defensive end and you can't put Howie Long at receiver. So I go by positions.
Oh, so you have to go by position. Come on.
You can't
no
do
fun.
That. You can't
sure
tell me
can.
That Tom Brady's the greatest player ever. You can't. At quarterback, yes. But at safety, he's not. So to me, it's at your position.
You got a lot of lists, man.
That's fine.
You go this way.
There's a lot of players, man.
I mean, who's your top 100 long snappers? You know,
we'll
do a segment later.
Bo Brinkley. Morgan Cox. I mean, we keep
going. There you go. And by the way, we're at 16 on the NFL 100 list. So Deacon Jones, speaking of defensive ends, Deacon Jones, number 16 all-time player. Dan Pompey wrote that one, too. Number
who would
16,
not be
Deacon
in the league.
Deacon Jones.
Would not be. He'd be fined and off a team because he did the head slap.
Oh, yeah. No, there's so much that, I mean.
Gone.
We were just talking about this yesterday at Titans practice. I mean, even, you know, like Steve Atwater. You know, I mean, like they had to totally like sanitize his highlight reel, right? Now, I mean, that, I mean, you go back and watch Steve Atwater, he used to absolutely just go at the head.
He absolutely did. I mean, he was.
And we're all like, oh, that's awesome. Yes.
Amazing player. That would never happen today.
No.
And, you know, and I get it. I understand all that. And you tackle with your shoulder and your arm. I get all that. You got pads on. You don't need to do it with the helmet. That's why now when I see a guy going with the helmet, I was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing? It was a play the other night, I think, in the Chargers 49ers game. Same thing. Guy went and hit a quarterback with his helmet. Like, what do you know better than that?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Even before all the, you know, the CTE and all the information about concussions, I mean, you knew not to use your helmet. You should have known.
Right. But what I see now, though, what's happened in the NFL, it happened in a high school game the other night. When a referee thinks there's helmet-to-helmet contact, even though there's not, that flag comes out immediately.
Right.
And so in high school, it's tough to kind of discern because there's no replay. In the college and NFL, you could do that. And a lot of times it's overturned. And I'm glad the targeting rule was the taking out, the overruled that you could go in. It wasn't automatic targeting out of the game. I enjoy that. They go back and review all that stuff as well. But now when you're hitting the guys with the helmet, that's just plain stupidity because you know better. You're being taught. Hopefully you're being taught better now from early age on up to junior high, high school, and on and on.
Well, Brennan, you know, and of course our sons have tangled in a rec basketball game. But, Brennan, I mean, from young age, first playing tackle football a couple years ago, great teaching by the coaches. Nolansville Panthers, you know, the Seahawk tackling method, you know, which is very much obviously keeping your head out of it.
Yeah.
You know, doing it the right way. I mean, the emphasis on safety and at the youth level that I've seen is really good. You see sometimes people throw out these videos of like 5-year-old smashing head. You know, it's like, what are we doing here?
But, well, you know, Australian rules football, and from a stat that I saw for like 10 years, they only had one concussion. They don't. I mean, that's football without pads.
Yeah.
And the thing was, we teach you not to go. You can blow your shoulder out all day. You're tackling with your shoulder and with your body, not with your head. Your head's out of it. So they had very few concussions.
Well, I mean, look, there are people who have advocated for, hey, if you got rid of the helmets, you're actually probably going to have fewer problems because people are not going to use it as a weapon in any way, right?
Great point. By the way, what's
probably not going to happen, but
what sport has more concussions than the other sport?
Well, I know that youth soccer has a lot.
Girl soccer, that's right.
Yeah. The headers, which, you know, and again, as a soccer dad, too, and that's something that you got to
wait a long time. Good Lord, what are you? Antonio Cromartie over there?
17 kids, they all play a different sport. You know? You haven't met my curling kid. She's incredible.
How many do you have? Three?
I got three.
Ages?
Well, it's birthday season, so. So basically, it's 17, 14, and 11.
Okay.
Caroline the curler.
That's right, Caroline the curler. She does have a tennis match today. Caroline. Tennis.
So is she a senior?
Caroline is a sixth grader.
Sixth grader. Okay.
Yeah. Middle school tennis.
Good.
Yeah. So.
She good?
Yeah. No, she's just starting out. So it's been great. Like in a short period of time, she's really.
Tennis,
picked it up and enjoying it.
Vastly underrated in Nashville. There's tennis leagues everywhere. I played in the Music City Tennis Tournament as a celebrity. I know. Stay away. Back in June, and it was sold out. I mean, and I got my butt kicked.
Celebrity,
men and women.
Celebrity tennis with Joe Dubin.
Yeah, for the Music City Tennis Invitation that was here for a good cause, for the Tennessee Breast Cancer Coalition. They do fabulous work in our city. So the event was sold out, raised a lot of money for them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I got destroyed by both men and women, which is fine.
That's fine. Yeah, I like tennis. My serve is weak is my problem.
You do pickleball?
I've never played pickleball. I have a cousin who thinks he's going to be like a nationally ranked. I've heard he's ranked. I don't know.
No, they're not ranking pickleball.
I don't know, man. I guess I could Google his name and see if he's on like in his list. But no, I know people like Willie Donick, I think, hurt himself playing pickleball. I hear people get hurt playing pickleball all the time.
Yeah, they have leagues, like a lot of intense leagues around town. I have a couple friends in them.
How do you get hurt? I mean,
I can get hurt going to the water fountain.
Okay, so, I guess. So, you're not playing pickleball. I mean, I just don't think pickleball equates injury. I'm sure somebody will call in. You know,
you're really going to piss people off with that one. But I feel like tennis players don't like pickleball. Is that right? I mean, it's kind of like sometimes they fight for the same courts. I feel like there's a little bit of a, You know, it's like Caddyshack, like Rodney Dangerfield's like pickleball, and
right.
Ted Knight is, you know, tennis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly what you're saying.
All right. So I don't know what we were going to talk about with this segment. I think the Titans offensive line, but we're going to come back and get five things that Big Joe
do it. Football.
Loves about football, what he's looking forward to the most here on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 1025 The Game. Joe Rex Show, Big Joe Dubin. Doing the wave over here. Michelle Knezovic.
Thank you. I love that song. Hey, tease ahead. 8:30, my best friend's coming on the show.
Yeah.
Walt Wells, head coach, Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah.
We grew up together here in Nashville and Donelson with the high school at McGavitt together, so it's going to be good to talk to him. And there's a lot of things about the COVID and practicing and the transfer portal and all that to go in, so we'll be able to talk to him. So I expect an athletic article soon on my best friend.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Well, you may recall, I actually, you know, was working on potentially a story on him, and then you fell off face of the earth and told me I wasn't allowed to talk to him anymore. So, but, you know, I'm not bitter about it.
That was that 2017 UT season was something else.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Of course, he was O-line coach that year.
What?
A lot of stuff went on. Yeah.
I'll never forget, and I'll probably ask him about this, but there was one game when they were just decimated by injuries, and he said to me, he's like, I got to start guys who, you know, might not have even played at a Division II school that – he goes, I got to put him in there. He goes, I didn't recruit him, but I got to coach him, you know, so there's no excuses that happen here that go on.
Yeah, yeah, that was a turbulent year. But this is 2021, and Big Joe – got football, so I want your top five things that you're most looking forward to about football.
Well, here we go. You know, I'm a big high school and college football guy because you can talk NFL all day long. You do. So my thing is, I want to see. Let's start Murfreesboro, MTSU. I want to see how good they do getting rid of Tony Franklin, and now they got a new offensive coordinator in there. There seems to be a different kind of vibe down there now with the program. Maybe the pandemic hurt that team really bad. A lot of games were canceled. A lot of kids were in quarantine. I mean, it was the same thing for a lot of teams as well. But there's just this different, and I'm a huge Rick Stockstill fan, but there just seems to be a different vibe coming out of Murfreesboro that I haven't seen in a long time. Maybe back when Brent Stockstill, maybe 1 or 2 years with the quarterback, maybe when Byard was there back in like 2013 with Logan Kilgore as a quarterback. So I just want to see some things with the MTSU. I'm looking forward to see how their season goes as well. This is no particular order. Okay. I'm going to go Vanderbilt with Clark Lee because I think that's a great hire, because I think at a school like Vanderbilt, you need somebody who has bled for that school. Not literal terms of, are you bleeding, but who's been there and went through the work and understands that when you run out on a Saturday and there's 14,000 fans in the stands, that's okay because you're worried about what's in front of you. So I think the hiring of Barton Simmons to me was the best thing they could have done. That guy is exceptional at evaluating talent. And so you've got him on your staff, and everybody knows Barton Simmons, and obviously him and Clark Lee go way back. So I'm looking forward to see if they can, you know, have a winning season. Will they? Probably not. I don't, you know, maybe 4 wins, maybe 4-8, but if they can go 6-6, who knows? I mean, things happen.
That'd be
right?
A heck of a, that'd be a,
right,
achievement.
I mean, Wake Forest 1 year won the ACC. So, I mean, you can get it done there. Obviously, Vols and Heupel. I mean, that's a huge thing. I mean, that's the state school and see what's going on. And I don't have a vibe now. I mean, because I know it's been through spring practice and now the season. But, I mean, their season starts in 9 days against Bowling Green on a Thursday night. I think Thursday night football, any night game at Neyland Stadium is fantastic. If you've never been, I think you need to experience that to see what goes on. So I'm looking forward to Heupel and the Vols and see what they can get done. They have to get more. I know you guys talked about recruiting. I heard you and Robbie talking about last week about Tennessee recruiting in the state. And I go back and laugh about – I think I said this on Darren Donick and Chase the other day about Derek Dooley when he was a coach in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. He sent a graduate assistant over to Brentwood Academy to scout Jalen Ramsey. How does that happen, Joe? How do you do that? I mean, Derek Dooley should have been fired then, in the summer before the season started. So you got to start capturing some of these in-state guys. And I know there's a lot what's going on with maybe penalties coming down the road, but you have to start getting – there's some good talent. I mean, the Wade brothers at Summit, to let them get out of the state and go to Kentucky, that hurts.
That's a big – yeah, that's a big loss. That's tough for a guy coming in new, right?
It is.
As what, Kentucky's done a great job, but yeah.
It is.
Good
yes,
point.
Yes, we have.
And then, yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Graduate. And but then you've got to go. You got to go get those players in Memphis who were a large and a big part of the Tennessee Vols back in the 90s, early 2000s, for those teams that had quite a bit of success. And now those guys aren't. They're going to Oklahoma. I mean, Tennessee lost a lot of guys to Oklahoma off that team.
Oh.
The transfer portal.
Oh yeah.
So
Oklahoma's loving the turn of events in Knoxville.
Absolutely. So
Eric
hopefully
Gray is going to be good this year.
So hopefully that stopped for a while. And again, you know, high school football, and I love every Friday night, and I tell people to go out and support schools and teams. Your boy's at Nolensville. Mine's at DCA. Just to get out, and even if you don't have a dog in the fight, just go out and support the guys on a Friday night, because it's still a pure, wonderful environment. I had a boss a few years ago. She hated high school football. She goes, "Why do you like high school football?" And I said, you know, the old question and answer, like, why do you hate it? Why do I like it?
You turned it around.
Yeah.
Oh, you turned it around.
She's like,
wow.
Well, I just don't nobody care. I said, take me back to your sophomore in high school, right? Friday night, you like a guy on the team, doesn't know you exist, but you go to the game with your friends, hoping he'll see you, and you talk to him after the game. And so when I'm talking to her, I start seeing her eyes open. And then halfway through, she says, stop, you got me.
Wow.
I mean, that's it. I mean, it's the purity of a Friday night with the band and the concession stands and the greasy food, all that is just simply fantastic. And all that to me and people, and I tell people, I'd rather go to a high school college game than I would to a program. That's I'm different mm-hmm. because I see the impact high school football had on me and had on a lot of different people that I grew up with and just around. Because, I mean,
no doubt.
We didn't play pro football. Very few of us played college football.
Should have, but
we all played high school football together. So I love seeing the passion and, you know, getting – and I take pride, and this sounds kind of weird, knowing a lot of high school football coaches around Middle Tennessee from all divisions, all classes, inner city, out in the country. I love these guys because they're more than football coaches. I mean, you know, I know stories of coaches who are paying electricity bills for players. I mean, who mm-hmm. feed them, you know. And so there's a different creed with those guys, and they're fantastic, and they're wonderful. All right, so finally with that –
well, that's number one. That's what I thought was going to be your number one. So just call that number one. That's number one.
And this sounds weird, but I've got this affinity for Tom Brady, and I just want to see if he can do it again and take a Bucs team to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the star. That's the NFL. If they can go all the way again, Super Bowl's in Los Angeles. He's a California guy. That'd be a swan song, and he rides out in the sunset.
But you still wouldn't rank him over the number one kicker in NFL history or nose tackle.
I would not.
No, okay. Yeah,
is he the greatest quarterback?
I think I think it's hard to argue against that now.
He's the best.
I've said this and gotten a lot of crap for it. That's fine. I think Peyton Manning, when Peyton Manning was at his best with the Colts, is the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Ooh, that's good.
But, you know, I mean, Tom Brady's doing it at this age still. You know, and last year it didn't look good. I mean, it didn't look. He's throwing the pick six against New Orleans, and they were awful. Got blown out at home by them, and a lot of that team winning it was their pass rush. I mean, their defense was the driving force.
7-5 at one time,
right? I mean, their defense, the way they dominated. I mean, the Chiefs couldn't block them to save their life, right? And the way they rushed Aaron Rodgers. But still, Tom Brady was still great in those games at his age. I mean, how do you argue with him as the greatest quarterback anymore?
Do you take the Super Bowl away from Dilfer in 2000? He was not a good quarterback for the Ravens, but he was a quarterback, and that defense was fantastic.
Right. Well, and that's why it's a team sport. I mean, you know, again, Tom Brady's got a ring because Pete Carroll, who we heard earlier on the show, great job calling in yesterday on the Floyd Tribute Show. I mean, that's unfortunately for Pete Carroll, like that's going to be one of the first things people talk about is not handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch and, you know, handing Tom Brady a ring.
Amazing.
But, you know.
But I do like your assessment of Manning because I haven't heard that. Usually, to me, Marino in 84.
Yeah, that's also real, real good.
It's hard to see a quarterback who was that good, that on fire, that precise. And they knew what he was doing. They still couldn't stop it.
He was unbelievable. Now, of course, then Joe Montana beats him badly. But, again, a much better team beats the Dolphins in the Super Bowl.
Well, it goes to the question. I know this is a topic for sports radio. 2-minute drive, Super Bowl, who do you put in at quarterback? I mean, I'll take Joe Montana every day, all day.
I mean, hey, I can't argue against Joe Montana.
All right.
But I'm happy with him, Brady. You know, Manning.
I like that because I've never heard the Manning at the Colts is the best, because there was a time, because that was all overshadowed by what Brady was doing with the Patriots back then.
Right. And, if, you know, of course, he finally got him. I mean, that's the thing. You know, those Patriots teams in particular, and, you know, Peyton had better skill, too, for the most part.
Yeah.
Other, you know, the year with Brady, a couple years with Randy Moss. But, I mean, you know, the Patriots had much better defenses with Mike Vrabel and all those guys, Rodney Harrison, and, I mean, than Peyton's teams had. I mean, way better defenses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like quarterbacks get wins are a quarterback stat, but it is the ultimate team sport, right?
It is the ultimate team sport.
And that's what
sport.
We're talking about.
And look, we're talking about Marino. Never won a championship, but yet in 84. If you Google Marino's highlights on YouTube, I did it one day on YouTube. I was just to Duper and Clayton and Jim Jensen. I mean, he's getting it done
Jim
back
then. Jensen.
I love the history of football.
Where do you come down on Dan Fouts?
Oh, that's a good one. He's He's up there.
Oh, man.
But you know what's great about Dan Fouts? He looks 60 when he was 25, right?
See, I thought Dan Fouts was kind of like Dan Marino before Dan Marino. Like the big statue quarterback, you know, cannon arm. But then Marino took it to a – but both Hall of Famers, by the way. Both in Canton.
Real quick before we go to the break, who's your favorite all-time player, NFL, all-time?
Hmm.
Put the fan hat on now.
Yeah. Honestly, you know, it's probably Barry Sanders, but I also would go back to Billy Sims, mm-hmm. who, back when ACLs, you know, just ended your career, Billy Sims, for his first few years in the league, was really as good as anyone. People forget Billy Sims.
I thought you'd go Paul Newmoff.
Paul Newmoff. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Linebacker for the Lions in the 60s and the 70s, All-American at Tennessee.
Well, thank you for confirming that you're much older than me. I appreciate that. And when we come back on Robbie Rex Show, we're going to talk a little, some rankings of players and some titans of interest there. Here on Robbie Rex Show, ESPN 102.5, The Game in the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.